I tell you what, ladies, those of you who were here yesterday, some hundred of you for the women's tea. You know, guys, I don't know if you're living the way I used to live and think about teas. I thought, you know, tea, why would you get all worked up about tea? And then I see some of the stuff that goes with women teas. I mean, you know, tea I don't give a rip about at all, but the goodies that come with it, I mean, it is huge stuff. So I'm right now already making plans for a way to sneak into the women's tea next year. Not sure what to do, maybe just double as a janitor, or maybe I'll dress up for the occasion. You just never know what may happen to me. But, you know, this is Mother's Day, and of course it's a day that you moms have a special inside track with God, because how could you possibly order up 75-degree weather on your day, moms? And, you know, I got to say something to you right now. I'm just so impressed that you're here, because, you know, this day is going to be a perfect, I mean, insanely beautiful day for your kids to get out there and weed all afternoon, as Aaron Geist attested to earlier. You know, elementary school teachers can tell some very, very funny stories. If you ever want to be humored about the silly things, the nuttiest things that kids say, just corner a teacher. By the way, we have about 35 teachers in our church, so you won't have to look too far. It's the largest profession, I think, in our church. That and firefighters, but I don't think so. It's teachers, pretty much. But they are ones that you just got a corner and say, tell me something funny from last week, is what they'll do, and they will. Miss Jones must have laughed out loud during a science lesson. She had explained about magnets, and she had one in her hand as she showed how they would pick up nails and other bits of metal. And then, as any good teacher can tell you, it comes to question time at the end of a lesson. And this Miss Jones said, "My name begins with the letter M, and I pick up things. What am I?" The little boy in the front proudly announces, "You're a mother." Well, that's pretty obvious to him. Your name begins with an M and you pick up all day long, as this dear-hearted lady on the floor scrubbing can attest to. But give him time, moms. I mean, you know, he's second grade, all right? He's got some growing pains ahead. But believe it or not, kids eventually figure it out, don't they? I mean, at least most of the time. In fact, two middle schoolers were overheard having a conversation, and I think they kind of figured it out. They were listened to as they were talking about their parents. "I'm really worried," said one of the students to his friend. "You know, Dad, he slaves at his job to provide what I need so that I might be able to go to college someday if I choose to. And Mom, man, she works hard every day. She washing and ironing and cleaning up after me and taking care of me when I get sick and driving me to practice," and he went on and on. "And they spend every day of their lives working just on my behalf. You know, I'm worried." His friend asked, "What do you got to be worried about?" And he replied, "I'm afraid they might try to escape." He gets it, doesn't he? Children see, I have to tell you, but don't always say how much they appreciate their parents. So today, we want to really set apart our morning, the whole morning, to bless moms, to honor you and to tell you in no uncertain terms how very, very highly esteemed you are to us. To show you how important you are, moms, and how your work matters, I want to show you this morning from a sample from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament of two different views, if you will, that God has for you and the work that you do, Mom. As I mentioned, one's in the Old Testament, and I'd like you to find your way to the first one of these two in Proverbs 31. And Mom, in honor of your day, have either your husband sitting next to you or someone that looks like they can help out right now turn to that passage of Scripture for you. So it's Proverbs 31, it's on page 71. And you'll be in the location for this first really cool principle. This final section of Proverbs is an acrostic poem that praises the many virtues of a noble woman, a noble wife. There are 22 verses. Many of you know that this being the last book of Proverbs, or the last chapter of Proverbs in the list of 31, by the way, a good breakdown point, read a chapter a day and you cover all of Proverbs in a month's time, of course. But this, the last chapter of Proverbs, many, may I say, most women know about. It's the profile of a noble wife that's presented here in these 22 verses that begin in verse 10 and go clear through to the end of chapter 31. And each begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you and I knew Hebrew and spoke it and, in fact, read from a Hebrew Bible right now, we would be most impressed that the exact letters would begin each of these 22 verses corresponding to the Hebrew alphabet. Together, these verses point to an important principle. And Mom, I want you to understand it loud and clear, and we're going to dig into it. God values a virtuous woman. That's the principle that you're going to see here. These verses profile the various attributes of just such a woman. The question that begins this profile, I'd like you to look at it with me, is in verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? Now that question could be taken two ways. It could be a writer that's saying, you know, look all you want. They can't be found. Or it could be that, and it's more correct to say, it's a writer that says, a wife of noble character, who can find? Meaning there aren't that many of them. They are, like men of noble character, rare and extremely, get this, valuable. You say, well, how so? How valuable? Read on verse 10. She is worth far more than jewels. Her worth exceeds that of costly gems and jewels. As one mother told me this morning, she got chocolate and gold in bed this morning. It's kind of a cool mix. Well, this proverb here is describing a woman of noble character as being of a value that exceeds jewelry. Costly, rare jewelry. Now, stay with me for a second, moms. Let me ask you this question. Do you see yourself as God does? If you've been around here for any time, you know, because I love this expression. It, to me, is an expression that touches every single person in this gathering this morning, but particularly this morning, moms. Here's the expression. The truest thing that could be said about you is what God has to say about you. Not your husband. Not even, moms, your kids. And not even you. Not what you have to say about yourself, but what God says. And you know what God says? He says right here that your worth is of greater value than fine or precious jewels. So, question. Since the search and salute of a wife of noble character goes to, in fact, this wife of noble character. What is meant by a noble character? If you want the kind of endorsement, the kind of accolades that are being talked about in this passage of Scripture, well, you got to define some things. What is a wife of noble character? Well, noble character, by the way, is the same word translated in Exodus 18, verse 21, capable. In Exodus 18, 21, it's describing men of noble character. They are capable men. Here, of course, it's related to women. And the Bible goes on to describe the many virtues of a noble or capable wife. And this morning, in honor of Mother's Day, I'd like to reach into this list of laudable qualities and see, I think, something very impressive. What this woman of noble character, what her kids and what her husband has to say about her. To do that, I want you to kind of follow from where we began in verse 10 and flip over to the end of this section of 22 verses and verse 28. Notice with me these candid comments. Watch this now. By those closest to her. Verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. A sample of what he might say? Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. So this morning, I would have you notice, moms, that her children rise and the start there and call her blessed. It's the idea, it suggests a plan and a purpose. It's very much like, and this is the chivalrous part of me, this is the stuff I still believe in. But if a man is sitting in a room or a group of men are sitting in a room and a woman walks into the room, what are the men supposed to do? Stand. Is exactly right. We may not salute, but we stand. You don't sit there like a clod, my father would say, and let her walk in and take her seat. It's this idea that she is to be honored. So, fittingly, her children rise and call her blessed. There's an intentionality. There's a purpose to it. It's done in this spirit. Now, notice it's done by those who, as I've said already, know her best. Members of her own household, her kids, and her husband. And do you do this, husbands? Is this the way you treat the mother of your kids? Is the very next thing. That her husband also, it adds in verse 28, he does the same thing. He praises her as well. Are you the kind of husband that does that? Kids, if you do, do you talk about your mother's virtues? Do you say, "Wow, that's huge. Thank you so much for doing that for me. Thank you so much for covering for me. Thank you so much for helping me out in this pinch." For maybe you're too young yet to receive that. Your kids haven't quite found their way to those words. But by all means, they will, and they should, because that's exactly the kind of praise this woman of noble, capable character is deserving of. And by the way, can I say something to the men, the husbands among us today? I love this because we're talking to a man in the cafe today, and he said, we were talking about how interesting it is that some of the most affirming ways we can be with our wives, the mothers of our children, is to speak words, is to say kindnesses, to praise them, to say things that lift them up. And isn't it interesting that we as a collective group of people tend to be people of few words? I am. The typical, you wouldn't know it on Sunday morning, but men as a group tend to be less verbal. And so we're given a wonderful example here of a husband who praises her, and not just a label there, we're given an example. He says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Let's put that in today's terms. There's a lot of really sweet babes in the world, but you're the babest of all. It's not a bad start, right? There's a lot of honeys, but you're the honeyest of all, right? Do you do that? Do you talk? Because this guy is good. He gets double kudos because he's saying what she needs to hear from him. And the kids need to see in you. If she's a great cook, kids, if your mom's just a killer cook, why don't you just talk about it all the time? Tell the world. You know, I know you eat good, but it's off the hook. It's incredible. Instead of, ugh, what's in that? You know, feed that to Skittles after dinner. Not that our kids do that, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not the answer. The answer is, whoa, we got the greatest cook in the world. Mom, do we have to go out to that fancy $30 plate dinner? Because we're so much better than that. Right? How about your mom? Can she spin plates? I don't know of a single mom that can't. Spin 10 plates. Why don't you talk about it like she's spinning 20 plates? Tell the world. She does it all. I swear, I think she's got eyes on the backside of her head. Seriously, she knows where I am at all times. She's like, she can leap buildings in a single bounce. She can know what I'm talking about, and I didn't even say anything. Right? That's the kind of praise that this woman is worth. And by the way, kids, if she's a mother that you're afraid might try to escape, then by all means, tell her so. Because here's the deal. I don't know of a wife who doesn't long to be appreciated and praised. I don't know of a mother that doesn't do it for that reason. It's not manipulation. Here, I'll be good to you so you say good things to me. It's just a mother that's being a mother. And it sure makes it a lot funner. A lot more joyful. Makes her want to rise even earlier the next day when she hears from you, Mom, you rock. Looking at this passage again this week, I saw something. I've looked at this a lot. Not near as much as most women I know. It's an important passage for wives and mothers. But I looked at it again this week, and I saw something I've never made this connection before. And here it is. A noble or capable woman's secret to her success as a wife and as a mother comes from her relationship with the Lord. You probably knew that. You probably saw that before. But verse 30 makes that plain and obvious. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but notice, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She has learned to live out her motherhood for an audience of one. Moms, talk about simplifying. Talk about clarifying. Talk about purifying. Ladies, in a world where there's a million scripts for your life, the script to follow is the one God wrote. And he would say to you, love me. That's the connection to verse 28 and 9 and verse 30. Love me, he's saying, and those closest to you, they're going to rise and praise you. That's what he's saying. The praise will flow. You may wait a while for it. It may not be as constant as you crave, but it'll flow. The woman who loves me, the mom who's dialed in on me, will receive praise. It's a huge application to mothers. As you seek to do the God-given calling and task, do it dialed in on Him, your Heavenly Father. What a better way to live. After all, God values a virtuous woman. Moms, your work, and that's what it is given to you by God. Here's the second principle I want to kind of develop a little bit. Then we got a couple of surprises for you. Let me show you something of what I mean and what's sort of behind that statement. Moms, your work is given to you by the Lord. I told you there was an Old Testament and we looked at that. I want you to now find your way to where we left off, actually, last week in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of you who've been around a while know that we've been studying this verse by verse, and we spent some good time in chapter 15 talking about the resurrection. It's on page 816. Turn there, would you, right now? Just take a second more and find your way there. Because last week we kind of camped on this ending verse to this wonderful section in 1 Corinthians. chapter 15 and verse 58. And I remember, if you were here last week, I introduced it with a series of questions. I asked some questions like, you want a great reason to press on in your walk with Jesus? Remember, I asked that question, and at the end I also said, you want a great motive for continuing on in ministry? I even asked it this way, do you want a fuel in your tank that will never run dry, that will constantly be filling up? Well, here it is, verse 58. Read it carefully, ladies. Moms, check it out. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand, let's change that. Therefore, my dear mothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, moms, listen very carefully. Here's what jumped out of this verse this week. Right in the middle, look back at verse 51, right in the middle of this verse, motherhood. You say, really? Did you see it? Did you see motherhood written there? These words, the work of the Lord. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Notice what Paul, who authored this, the Holy Spirit gave him these words and he wrote them down. Notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't define the work, does he? It's a very, very inclusive, generic kind of way he put it. The work of the Lord is not defined. He simply labels it as the work of the Lord. With similar words, Paul says this about your work, moms. Check it out, Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, and notice here what's missing too. He does not define it. Meaning it's inclusive. It fits motherhood. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ whom you are serving. Given the things we've just thought about back in Proverbs about the noble woman, it seems to me that motherhood clearly qualifies as a work of the Lord. So what principles can we claim? What principles can moms grab hold of and apply to the work that God has given you to do, moms? I see four of them. Let me just mention them quickly. The first, motherhood is, as I've said, a work of the Lord. And as such, it has special status. Moms, get this. Your work isn't just a high calling. It's a holy calling. You may not get the praise that you deserve from a culture that doesn't see or appreciate your worth as greater than precious jewels, according to Proverbs. You may not get that praise, but moms, do you feel the worth when I say it this way to you? Imagine God right now, mom, sitting down across the table from you. Not me, no one else around, just you and God. And imagine Him looking at you in the eyes and saying, you, mom, you work for me. Does that make you just kind of stand tall? Kind of suck in your breath with a sense of privilege? This isn't anybody talking. This is God. This is a God that says, the thing you're doing with that child, those children, you're doing it for me. It's my work. Here's the second principle for mothers. Motherhood is a work that, well, it brings great gains, big gains. Your labor, I get that from these words, your labor is not in vain. Mothers, you may feel at times like maybe you've done this even. You've muttered under your breath, what's the use? I'm shot. I'm spent. I'm wiped out. What's the use? But you know something? According to this section of Scripture, the facts speak differently, don't they? They speak very differently. I see moms as consummate seed sowers. Your job as a mom, from when those little babies first come into your life, is you're sowing seeds, you're planting seeds, and just as any gardener can tell you, you never ever reap in the same season you sow or plant. So moms are continuous, consummate seed sowers. And the day will come when you'll reap. So keep sowing, because great gains, big gains are ahead. Here's a third principle also from this 58th verse. Motherhood is a work worthy of everything you got. It's a work worthy, moms, of your life. Not a part of your life. That's why Paul encourages here to give yourself partially. What's the word he uses? Fully. Give yourself without holding back a thing, with absolute abandon. I'm pouring myself out every step of the way. I don't calculate the cost, because this is a work that God has given me to do, and it's got a worth to it that's worthy of my very life, everything about me. Because I'm consumed by the very high value that God places on this privilege he's given me called motherhood. One further final principle here to claim in your calling as a mother. Motherhood is a work that requires resoluteness. Few great works are accomplished without an unwavering and determined focus. So when Paul uses words like stand firm, see that? Let nothing move you. Most moms could tell and know from experience that anything less won't get the job done. Anything less than standing firm and let nothing move you is not going to accomplish the job. And I don't need to tell you, moms, today that there are many offers, constant offers, facing moms on a daily basis to give up and quit. Moms, don't. Don't do it for a minute. Stay the course. It's truly a work that God has given you to do. I told you there's a special surprise this morning, and I thought it would be really fun to invite a mom among us to come and share a little bit from her journey as a mother. And I'm referring to someone that many of you know personally, but her name's Kimmy Nguyen, and she's going to join me at this time and make her way down front here, and I'm going to wait for you, ma'am. Come on. You come on up to the front, and you know what? Let's make it comfortable. Here's a couple of stools, and I got just the right idea. I'm a little taller than you, Kimmy. But if you'll sit there, and you'll take that, I'm just going to remember a note or two, a question that I might want to ask you. But watch what happens.
You pretty much said it all.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
Kimmy, you are a seasoned veteran, let's call you. You're the mother of three.
Yep.
And you're the grandmother of how many?
Seven.
Seven grandbabies. And counting? Yes. Or seven?
Yeah,
and
seven and counting, I think.
Okay.
Well, I hope, I guess.
I didn't see him. He was here for a service, but
Doug's teaching Sunday school.
Oh, perfect. There we go. So, and you and Doug have been married
40 years in September.
Oh, that's worth something right there, huh? It's incredible. Yeah. 40 years this coming September.
This coming September. I remember when my mom and dad celebrated their 40th, so.
Isn't that something?
Can't believe we're almost there.
Yeah. You know, I know you have tried to keep in view what we talked about and what I've tried to draw out, that motherhood is a work given to you by God. And I know that you and I talked earlier in the week, and I said I'd like you to kind of think about that a little bit. And think about how it feels to you as a mother of three, and of course all your children are grown and gone. Let's just stop right
One's
now. That's just
back.
A little... But they're adult children, and they have families of their own and all. But you know, and you thought even already, you had a kind of a jump on the moms this morning in thinking about what it must feel like to have God look at you and say, you work for me. Mm-hmm. Your job as a mom is the job I've given you to do. Tell us in what ways, I kind of used the expression a little bit ago, that being a mom is not just a high calling, but it's a holy calling. What's that? How does that look for you?
I've always seen my kids as a precious gift from God. But I knew that they didn't really belong to me. I mean, he had just loaned them to us, to Doug and I. It was a trust. He was trusting us to take care of these lives. It was. We were his servants to love them, to nurture them, to reveal him to them so that hopefully one day they would come to know him as their Lord and Savior and want to live their lives for him. I loved being a mom, and it was, it was an awesome privilege and truly a sacred trust that he would trust me to be their mom. And I know there were times when I wondered why he chose me to be their mom, because there were things that I wasn't sure I was really able to handle, but with his help, we got through it.
Well, now I love your expression. Maybe others felt this way as you said it just now, that they're a gift. They're a sacred, they're on, did you say, on loan to you from the Lord. What a great way to kind of hold them carefully and loosely and know that someday they're going to be launched into their own lives. What was it then that along the way, all those years, motivated you to give yourself fully to this work that God's given you?
I would have to say that I think from the time I was a little girl, I always wanted to be a mom, and I think that's a desire that God put in my heart. I had a wonderful role model as a mom, and she's sitting right out there.
Oh, how fun. Raise your hand. Here we go. Welcome.
If you want to see a mom with patience, that was a mom with patience. And she made the job of motherhood look so easy. When I became a mother, I found out that wasn't the case. I don't have near the patience that she has. But I think the two things that really motivated me to give myself fully to being a mom was, one, my deep, deep love for my children from the time they're conceived. I mean, that love starts to grow. And you can't do enough for your kids. I mean, you'd lay down your lives for your kids. And the other would be that I knew I was accountable to God. These were his kids, and I was responsible to him for how I raised them. So I knew that if I wasn't faithful to this awesome responsibility and privilege he'd given to me, that I was would have to answer to him. And I certainly wanted to hear him say, well done.
I love that your mother's here, and she concealed the difficulty factor
sounds like. She did.
Let me ask you this. You know, I talked a little bit about something that every mom can talk about, I think, that you sow a lot of seeds. Can you reach into your memory of your three children, of seeds you sowed, but it was a season later or maybe several seasons later before you saw the fruit, the result of what you poured in here and saw come out here?
The first thing that comes to mind is our involvement in the Awana program that they had here at church. Doug and I were both very involved in working in Awana and had our kids involved in it. And I spent many, many, many hours with my kids helping them to learn their scripture verses. And there were times, probably most times, when that's not what they wanted to do. So it was pretty difficult sewing sometimes. But God promised that his word never returns void, and that has been true in my kids' life. They all love God's word, and there's been huge fruit from that. So that, and then I also, there are many examples, but I think about Adam, who many of you maybe heard preach last summer.
Yeah, right here.
When he was in middle school, he started getting some friends that were a pretty bad influence in his life. He had a lot of good church friends, but he had these friends at school that I was really concerned about. And I prayed and prayed and prayed about this situation. And we had many battles over it, things he would want to do with them that I didn't want him to do. And he, one time, wanted to spend the night with a friend, and I said no. I couldn't. I knew this was not what God wanted me to do. And I could probably take you about a block over there, and you could see some knuckle prints in a dining room wall where he was so angry, but I had to stand firm. But then this went on for about 3 years, for 7th, 8th, 9th grade. And when he was in 10th grade, God answered those prayers in a way that I was not expecting at all. He moved us to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and totally took Adam away from all these friends. I didn't want to go at all. I didn't want to leave this church. But it was definitely an answer to prayer, and we saw huge fruit after we moved to New Mexico. God really got a hold of Adam's life, and and now he's got his PhD in theology. So
wow! You've got three kids.
Hillary's the oldest.
Hillary,
and then Adam, and then Abel.
Okay, yeah. All the exact same kids.
What? Oh, absolutely not! Absolutely not. But two of them are pretty strong-willed, and one of them is not. I won't name names, but
I understand it was your third board, and it just brought a fresh delight into your life. I understand that's true of a lot of third-borns.
Yeah.
I don't know, just a passing thought. But, I love those words that we read earlier.
I think earlier. It's third-born boys.
That's yeah. It says, Paul says, stand firm, let nothing move you. Would you say that, looking back on your years as a mother, describes a fairly typical day for
you?
Oh,
my goodness, yes. Yes, there are days when it's totally delightful and, you don't have to stand so firm and be unmovable. But there are days that are exhausting, and those little people, oh, my word, they have so much energy, and they can be immovable. So it's a battle of the wills sometimes, but you've got to keep the end goal in mind and draw on the strength of the Lord, and it's worth it.
Moms, your work is given to you by God. Pretty true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Cammie. We really appreciate the visit today. Here you go, Neil. no mother's immune from the temptation to give up. It's really true. But God would have you stay the course. And I want to conclude this morning with some really encouraging words to help you not give up and to celebrate the true gift God has given you, moms, in motherhood. These words are very powerful, and I think they'll be a blessing to you. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns out right. when she might have won had she stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. So do your work as work done good, and celebrate God's gift to you, the gift of motherhood. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, and to the rest of you moms. I hope you feel that sense of having visited with God and seen on His face, way to do this work for me. I'd like you to bow your heads as we conclude. Thank you for this very special morning, Lord, the privilege to pour out your blessing on moms. I pray that today moms would be renewed in their joy in this journey that you've called them to, that they would think less about what the world tells them they should be, think less about what even those nearest to them sometimes might demand them to be, but to think constantly about what you have called them to be. And Father, I pray that moms today would feel something that would not wear off. They would feel a sense of your precise, tailored blessing and anointing of their lives for each step of this journey that you've given them to be mothers. And that they would take great joy and tuck away all kinds of treasured memories from this high calling, holy calling that you've given them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing one final song, and then I will be back right here with a special announcement. We're going to gather up our morning prayer requests and offering as we are led by the worship team in this final song.